from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster with the creaky dulcet tones that most people say, what, creaky dulcet tones? What does that even mean? And I'm not sure that's for me. And I say, well, those are good points. Let me see how we do. Because really what I'm here to do is not ever get to the point or just barely approach a point and then go around it. All to keep you company, take your mind off stuff, and help you fall asleep, because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. Hey, everybody, before we get to the move on here, I just wanted to let you know a couple things. Sleep With Me is here to create a safe place for you, and that means empowering you to extend that safe place beyond the podcast. So if you're an extra, if you're having some extra needs right now, you need a little extra help, there's going to be links to organizations, especially if you have a need right now to talk to somebody. There'll be links to helplines internationally right in our show notes. And creating a safe place means supporting the Black members of our community, because Black lives matter. And again, it's really empowering you to be a part of that safe place, whether you're being impacted individually or as a community. There's links to organizations to support the Black members of our community right in the show notes. So please take those steps. And remember, this is about empowering you to create a safe place. Thanks so much. And these are the ways we're able to bring this podcast to twice a week. But this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead and start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answer to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show. If it was missing from my life, I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, like I do need, like we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. If the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. Sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone. The part of the podcast I need you to hear where I pop my peas and I get loud and excited, because it's where the listener, I get to thank the listeners who supported the sponsors and shared about it. That's the main way I'm able to bring you this podcast twice a week for free. And there is a lot of Sun Soil supporters, a lot of creative, like putting it in stories and pictures and all that stuff. So I really want to thank Heather R., Kim, Wendy, Brenda, Christy L., and Nancy, who all supported Sun Soil. Now, this is a big deal, because Sun Soil committed to the show through the end of the year because of support like Heather, Kim, Wendy, Brenda, Christy, and Nancy. This is why I have the Sleepy Supporter Zone, is because it's powerful. So thank you for supporting the show. Let me know. Did you support Sun Soil? What about Grove or Helix? Let me know. Tag them. Tag me in a social media post so I can try to thank you here on the Sleepy Supporter Zone, like Heather, Kim, Wendy, Brenda, Christy, and Nancy. Ooh, that was fun. The second part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is getting you getting the support you need to empower you, because you matter, and taking care, it's important. So if you need some extra help during this time, there's going to be links to organizations you could reach out for more support right now. And when I say you matter, that means that Black Lives Matter. And this is all about empowerment, empowering you to make choices to support yourself or support the members of your community. So there's going to be links to those organizations wherever you are, whether you're impacted by racism or you're looking to be a part of the solution. There's organizations in our show notes. And the last part of Sleepy Supporter Zone is another resource, and it's a book by Ruth King called Mindful of Race. And I want to strongly encourage you to check it out. There'll be a link to Ruth King's website in my show notes where you can check out the book and you can learn more. And that's Mindful of Race. It's been an extremely powerful book for me. And so that's the third part of Sleepy Supporter Zone, which is now over. Before we slow down, Mr. Bart, a lot of people help out on the show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Poster.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. the Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the mystery bar.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story, yeah. You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance. Raising money for the Water Wheel Foundation, and Scooter might get a perm.
Thanks, Mr. Bart. I'm at Dearest Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. That's where you can find me. What do you say we get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing? Trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is, you know, repeat myself when it's necessary. What I'm going to attempt to do, though, is create a safe place, you know, repetition, respect, and saying, well, could you give me a second? I'm going to go back and make myself a little bit clearer, though that's not my forte. You know, my favorite, I've said it before, my favorite forte, Will Forte. I see my use of the word forte, not as good as my love of Will Forte. I'm going to try to create a safe place. Whether you're a forte or you're just fortuitous or neither, or neither, I'm going to try to create a safe place here. I'm smoothing it, I'm patting it, I'm rubbing it down. You know, if MacGruber... I think MacGruber, is it MacGruber? I can't pronounce very many words, but MacGruber. MacGruber could you? I don't know if MacGruber needs a safe place or MacGruber's friends do. But you'd say, like, if there was a, you know, if I wrote, I did write MacGruber. I do admit, I did write a MacGruber After Dark novel. But it was trying to be like a little bit romantic too. It was called The Cave Within My Heart. That was my initial title. And I said, well, what does it have to do with, how's that MacGrubery, Scoots? And then some part of my brain said, Scoots, are you sure Will Forte played MacGruber? And I say, yeah, I'm pretty sure. Okay, Scoots, what were you saying? Then I said, countdown. I said, you're right, I probably have to brainstorm that title. It was a little bit too romantic, The Cave Within My Heart, huh? But it is a sleep podcast, too, so I couldn't say anything, like, action-packed. Who's MacGruber? Or what does this have to do with a sleep podcast in a safe place? Those are great questions. Let me get to them before I move on. So MacGruber, maybe you've heard of MacGyver. MacGruber was another, like, very similar to MacGyver. But kind of like, well, I guess we do have a good analogy here. Kind of like a regular podcast would have already gotten to the point. If MacGyver is your regular run of, I mean, there's no such thing as a regular run of the mill podcast. That's the best thing about podcasting. There's so much out there and it's all different. But let's just say that MacGyver was a podcast. MacGyver would be like, okay, well, give me that. Okay, give me a couple pieces of story there, and I'll put it together in a concise way that works. MacGruber and Scooch, like, I would be there and say, well, okay, give me some bubblegum. What are you going to do with the bubblegum? Fix this story issue, Scooch? No, I'm going to chew it. I want to have fresh breath while I fix this. But what was MacGruber? That's what I was trying to explain. Something else. Oh, MacGruber's like a, I don't know if a parody version of a MacGyver, but a less competent MacGyver, but with the heart of MacGyver and the skills of me. Maybe. What does any of that have to do with the podcast or the other thing I was supposed to remember? I don't remember the other thing. But what I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. And the way I'm going to do that is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. I'm going to go off topic. I'm going to get mixed up. I mean, you've already seen that. Pointless meanders, superfluous tangents, and mixed up stuff. All to take your mind off stuff so you could fall asleep. So whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts. Did I say this already? Thoughts you're thinking about, like things on your mind. Feelings, any feelings coming up for you. Physical sensations. Changes in schedule or routine. You know, maybe you work a second or third shift. Maybe you're on a break from work, or you're, you know, on call, or maybe you just got, you know, stuff that's keeping you from sleep. Sometimes it's baffling. Yeah, whatever it is, I'm here to take your mind off of that. And that's why I said I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night to do that. Now, a couple of things that in a MacGruber, most MacGruberous way, I don't even know if that's a word, but also, now I'm like, wait a second, is MacGruber that, like the Will Forte character, or is that a character on The Simpsons? I don't know. But so if you're new, a few things to know that you'd say, well, a little late now. I'd say, yep, that's how we do it here. Right on time, barely ever right on time. But a couple of things to know. One, this podcast is not for everybody. So if you're skeptical or doubtful, or you're like, what is with the creaky dulcet tones or pointless meanders? Give it a few tries. And again, the podcast is free. So you could give it a few tries. I'm not even pressuring you to do that. But most listeners, and this is like a pretty steady feedback I get on like a daily basis. They say, hey, it took two or three tries before I got used to the show. And realize it won't ever make any sense, and that's what makes the most sense about it. And then I realized it, you know, then I was like, oh, wait, as soon as I stopped trying to figure out what was going on, and accept the fact that it was unfigurable, or, yeah, as soon as I accepted you were no MacGyver, which is my first instinct, as soon as you opened your mouth, it's funny, my brain said that person is no MacGyver, and I mean either MacGyver, either. And maybe there's been more than two MacGyvers. I only know of two. There's a younger MacGyver who would say is new MacGyver, maybe, I don't know. And then there's Richard Dean Anderson MacGyver. And then there's MacGruber. And you say, well, you're more like MacGruber. I'd say like McUber, like the Uber, no, McGoober, I said. Oh, well, yeah, that kind of makes sense. So there's MacGyver, MacGruber, MacGyver 1, MacGyver 2, MacGruber, and I'm McGoober. And I'm not like a goober, And I technically, I'm not sure I can agree to that because I'm not positive what a goober is, because it might be something that's not sleepy. So I got to kind of move on. But if it's something that exists in the world, like kind of like, could we agree to just for now say that that term means homemade sparkle slime slime with the puffy stuff inside? Okay, good. I'm glad we could agree to that. Oh, I'm supposed to be talking about the podcast. You're right. So this podcast is not for everybody, but give it two or three tries to see how it goes. Oh, because I was saying once the regular listeners realize that I'm much more MacGruber than MacGyver, they said, oh, okay, I get it now. I don't really have to pay attention. He's not going to figure anything out. It would be like that. Like if you said, okay, now give me that. Okay, now give me a bag of jasmine rice. Okay, give me a magnifying glass. Okay. Okay, now I need some earmuffs. Okay, hand those to, okay, what are you doing? Oh, let me look closer. Hold on. Do you have a cheese stick? Okay, let me put that in there. And, okay, hold on, I need a break. I just and then I would take a break. But in this case, I'm coming back to you. So give the show a few tries. That is one thing I should have told you like 11 minutes ago. The second thing to know is this podcast you don't need to listen to. That's what I was trying to say that whole time. Also, this isn't really a podcast to put you to sleep. It's here to be here, keep you company, and take your mind off stuff as you fall asleep. So I'm kind of like your boar friend, your boar bae, your boar bestie, your boar bud. I'm here to kind of just take your mind off stuff, be at your side, be your companion. Like, what if MacGruber or MacGyver do they have anyone on that show that goes, uh-huh, okay. Like, I'd just be handing, like, technically that would be my job. Okay. Chopsticks, okay, there you go. Okay, well, let me look in the bag. Burlap sack, there you go. Okay, two eyes made out of coal, there you go, you got it. Button nose, the only button nose I see is on you, MacGyver one. I don't know, is that in term of endearment? So, my job's here to be here to take your mind off stuff, keep you company as you drift off. So, podcast you don't need to listen to, no pressure to fall asleep. That's why the shows are about an hour. And if you can't sleep or you find yourself you need a break during the day, you want to take a nap, or you just want a little mental escape, this podcast is here for you. Or you wake up during the night. The reason the shows are about an hour is to give you plenty of time to drift off. But if you can't sleep, I'm here to the very end. Like I said, I'm here to keep you company, awake or asleep. So I think one of the things about MacGruber and MacGyver is competence. And then I'm on the other side of competence. Like you'd say, I don't think there's any way you can quibble that MacGyver is highly competent, either MacGyver or either MacGyver. I was just wondering if Richard Dean Anderson was also in that movie, that show Air Puppy or whatever about the helicopter. I think so. Where was I? I'm not very competent at getting to the point. I'm competent at... I'm confident in my incompetence. I mean, that's the truth. Oh, the other thing, and this is way too late to tell you this, but just in case, like the structure of the show is very different. So most podcasts start off, they do a quick intro, then they probably have some business, and then they do like a setup, and then they might have some business, and then they have the thing. Our show is, I guess, kind of like that. We have a greeting, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, friends beyond the binary. So everybody would say hello to everybody. Then we do business for a few minutes. Then we have an intro, which goes from like minute 4 or minute 6 to about minute 20, 22. And the intro just kind of goes on and on, like we've been doing tonight, where I kind of get distracted and follow those distractions wherever they're going. And so for the new listener, you could say, what is this? But the regular listener... What it does is it eases you into bedtime, or it gives you a chance to get ready for bed, or to start your wind down routine. Or if you're in bed, it gives you a chance to get comfortable. Your familiar friend Scoots is here. And instead of like an action-packed night of, dreamy hunks like the MacGyvers, or, I mean, talk about a hunk, in my opinion, Will Forte. You know, he's making you laugh and easy on the eyes, I'd say. So, like, instead of that, you say, I don't know what my point was. You say, oh, okay, Scoots is here. I'm just going to kind of barely listen. Yeah, my friend's here to keep me company and not get to the point. I don't have to worry about it. He's just going to go, instead of like, okay, what are we dealing with here? You know, okay, we got the ticking clock, MacGruber. We got to figure it out. So, okay, so there's that. And then I don't know what, so that's the intro. Then there's some business. Then there'll be a story, like a bedtime story. Tonight it'll just be a one-off kind of random thing. And then there's some thank yous and some good nights at the end. So that's the structure of the show. And I think that's kind of everything. The only thing left to tell you is, the reason I make the show. And I make the show, one, because I've been there. I know how it feels. I woke up this morning wicked early, and I couldn't get back to sleep. But I've also have trouble on all, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep. Tossing and turning, all that stuff I've dealt with. And I know how it feels, and it doesn't feel good to me. And it's nice to have someone there to keep you company and take your mind off of stuff, in my opinion. So I hope I could provide that for you. But more important than that is you. And it's my belief and my knowledge that you deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve a place where you can rest and get away. And I hope I can provide that for you. Now, like I said, it doesn't work for everybody. So you can check out sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou for other stuff. But that's really why I'm here, is to see if I can help. So let's see how it goes. Like most listeners say, guess see how it goes two or three times. Then you realize, oh, it's kind of going nowhere-ish. Somewhere, it's the maps. It's kind of like figuring out one of those mazes that's really complicated, like with a crayon. And you say, well, my crayon is, it's one of those, the crayon is wider than the maze. I'd say, well, that's a perfect analogy for sleep with me. Complicated maze where the crane is wider than the maze. I'm amazed you came up with that, and I can understand it, but it barely makes sense to even me. So I'm glad you're here. I really appreciate you checking the show out, giving me your time, and I really hope I yearn and I strive because I want to help you fall asleep. And here's a couple ways we're able to bring this show for free. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. All right, hey everybody, it's Scoots here, and I can't make any guarantees in this episode. This is a board game unboxing, and we may unbox two games. This may be a 2-for-1. Though I'm wondering if I already unboxed one of these games. We'll find out. That would be pretty funny. But did I? I don't think I did. Because I had three games, and I said, wait a second, did I already do this game? But I don't think I did, because there's still tape on it. That'd be interesting. But so I have two board games. They came in smaller boxes. They're more card and pip-based games. And I bought them in late February from one of my local used stores, like late February I was there, and Rocket Reuse, it's called. And I do know they're still posting stuff on Facebook and probably on their website that you could still get through new ways. But I'm going to talk about these two games I picked up there. And so Board Game Unboxing episode is basically where I unbox a board game that I've never opened before. And I've never played it before because I love board games and I found that they're very lulling. So the first game, I don't know, caught my eye. It's a very, very ornate art. And I'll be honest, at some point it was like almost, I said, wait a second, is this too ornate for Scoots? But it caught my eye. Really, really detailed art. The game is called Masquerade. And I'm looking at the top of the box now. The box is a rectangle about the size of two or three decks of cards. Two and a half decks of cards. It's about as thick as two decks of cards, the box. A really high-quality box. It has that, a material-type finish, like a weave to it. It above Masquerade, it says Bruno Faidutti. AI is I, right? Faidutti. And then it has a very, very ornate mask for Masquerade, like ball, friendly Masquerade ball. And it's real. It has some plumes and feathers, which are so it has plumage and feathers, flowers, jewels, another layer of flowers, layers of material. Then it has coins. It won an award from Cannes in 2014, some sort of board game award. So, or nominee, I'm not sure, because it's in French. The game is for 2 to 13 players, ages 10 plus, and the time should be 30 minutes. And the producer of the game is Repos Production, R-E-P-O-S Production. So that's everything on the cover of the box. On one side of a box is an alluring figure whose cover, her face is partially covered. She's in a gown. This game is 10 plus, though, so I'm not expecting anything more than alluring. It says a Bruno Faidutti in Masquerade. It repeats 2 to 13 players. That's a lot of players for one game. I don't know why it couldn't be 12 or 14 either. That's interesting to me. Maybe there's 13 characters, 10 plus and 30 minutes, and then it has a Repost Production symbol. On the other long side of the box, it has two ovals with portraits of characters in there. One, a purple character, looks a bit like a trickster. And it says Masquerade in the middle. Then the other character on the right side is more of a dashing type character. Neither one wearing a Masquerade outfit. I mean, they look like, I don't know. We'll find out more in the box. On the ends of the box, it says other stuff. So let's see. Masquerade. Judge or thief, a king or peasant, witch or bishop. Enter the Masquerade and unmask your opponents. Assume the role of up to 13 characters with the ultimate goal of being the richest player by the end of the game. So that sounds fun. And let's see. There's a queen. Well, I'll read through the cards because I can't read them all. It looks like there's some other things. It comes with 14 of something, 14 character cards, 86 coins, one bank symbol. The art is by Jeremy Masson. Game was Repost Production 2014 for all versions. CE Repost Productions is Belgium. And not suitable for children under 3. And that's everything. So I'm going to open the box now. Now, this is a used game, but it's been checked, I think, for all parts. So when I first open it up, it has the rules. Well, let me put it down, and I'll be back. So when I first open up the box, it has, the rules. It has these masquerade cards, which kind of have, like, on your turn what you could do. But we're not going to read those quite yet. It has three of those. Those aren't, they're printed on a hardy card stock, or I mean, maybe not card stock, but then in the cover, we have a full view of the character, the alluring character. And I guess we see that the mask on the cover, she's also wearing a very fancy hat, not just a masquerade mask, but a very, very fancy hat. And we won't look at the rules just yet. But I'm going to kind of go into the box first. Okay, so in the box is, first there's a bank symbol. I'm assuming it's a bank symbol. It's the same on both sides. It's about the size of a human hand. It's definitely thick cardboard. And it doesn't have Doric. I don't know if those are iconic columns. It has statues. It's a marble bank. It looks more like a museum. It has two gold statues holding the scales of justice and two winged lions on either side. So it could be a library, but we know it's probably a bank for the game. Though it could be Masquerade Hall. Okay, so that's one thing in there. Then another thing, because all the pieces are loose, there's some small rectangular game pieces that I don't know what they mean. And then there's some coins. There's pennies or 1 cent or, you know, copper pieces. Then there's five pieces, those are silver. And then there's a 10-piece that's gold. And, yeah, then there's these cards and then these square pieces. And the cards are a bit like the tarot cards, actually. They're larger than playing cards. They're actually the size of tarot cards. And the reason I say this is because the first one I found, and I'm not kidding, I flipped it over and it's the Fool. And on the bottom of the card, on a scroll, it says a Fool. Below the Fool is a symbol of a sack. I don't know if it's a sack of money. Then to the left of the Fool is like a wax, whatever that thing is called, imprint, like you'd seal a wax seal. With two cards, circling each other, and it says plus one on a penny, plus one penny. And then it has a very, very detailed drawing of a fool in a masquerade mask, holding like a wand, gloves, frills, the fanciest jester hat you could ever possibly imagine. So many layers of clothing as well. And that's the Fool. The next card is a peasant. And the peasant is underneath peasant on a scroll. It says 8 plus. Then it has a sack. And then it says X2. And the peasant is a bearded man, standing very determined, holding a rake. With like wheat strapped to his back, other tools around his belt. And then the wax seal, it has plus one, plus two, and then two crossed rakes. Yeah, the next one is a WITCH. And this one is this art? It's like greens and yellows. She has earrings, a very cool hat. She has a potion in one hand. And a doll in the other, and the doll has, it looks like it's it was just on Doctor Who, there was a similar WITCH, like a mannequin doll, made out of like burlap, I think, and she's kind of manipulating it. She also has, those things you wear on your wrists that are decorative, not a necklace, but a necklace for your wrist. I think you can call them bangles, but they have an actual real name. that normally would be simple to remember, but I can't. She's also wearing scarves. Her clothing is many, many layered. Underneath WITCH, it does not say anything, but hers shows two different color sacks on her symbol, her seal, circling one another, a blue and a brownish yellow one. And that's our WITCH. Then another peasant card, then WIDOW. And this is one of the people from the side of the box. She does have a trickster look to her face. She's in all lavenders and grays and deep purples. Underneath her widow is a sack. Then on her seal, it says like equals 10 sacks. She's also holding some sort of like a pouch. So maybe they're not sacks, they're pouches. She seems to be holding a pouch. It's decorative. In other, her other hand, she's holding a black masquerade mask with its eyes lowered. It has a purple flower. She has a lot of plumage around her. She also has a like a fancy hood hat, you know, even bejeweled. She's got layers of cloaks, and she's in front of, she's like where WIDOW would be, I think, visiting. But she looks like a trickster. Wow, this game is loaded. Then the next person is like an investigator, but not an inquisitive person. And below them, it just says 8+. And the inquisitive person, it says a question mark card plus 4 pennies. And this person looks like they're warm in their inquisitive nature. They're pointing at a scroll very heartily. And their mouth is open like they're making a speech. They're also holding a symbol that has different symbols to it. They have like multiple layers to their outfit. And yeah, that's it. The next person, this has got a little D&D feel to it too, I guess, or role playing. Is an SPY, like I Spy with my little eye, an SPY. They don't have anything that's different than SPF. They don't have anything below their symbol. Then they have an eye with two cards circling one another. And they're out in the evening, and they're saying, "I spy with my little eye a candle in the sky." And then they have multiple cloaks, good for sneaking around. In their belt, they have some scrolls and some other things. The next person is someone that borrows stuff without returning it. They go by a different name. And they look like they're already borrowing stuff with it. Like they say, okay, I just borrowed some stuff from my friend. This is what I mean. To the left on their seal, it has like 2 pennies pointing at one another, +1, +1. So I'm still not quite understanding the gameplay. It seems like each character has the ability to do something. But this person, they say, hey, borrowed a sack of stuff. And a lamp. They're also wearing, they have a hood and a masquerade thing. So they say, I'm probably going to go to the ball too after I take all the stuff I borrowed and, get it ready to be returned. I used to borrow stuff without permission and then get like clothes from my roommates and then I would get stains on them. And then the clothes would become mine. They still joke about it. Or I'd say, well, I forgot where I put that. So I still have many amends to make. This art is very, so the next person is a bishop. And they don't look like the most generous kind. They look like the kind cloaked because they're holding, it says max +2 on their seal. And they are they're dressed in fineries, I'd say. On their left hand, they have many, many rings and glove. And they're holding like a staff with a symbol and 3 things of incense. They have a very high hat with jewels. They also have a box full of like donations, I would assume, of gold and what are those things called? Pearls. And their face looks like they're used to eating very, like they eat a lot of finery. Next up is the king, who is regal. Holy cow. They have a lot of layers too. They're wearing a crown. They seem to be in a fancy tented room. It says +3. They also have a sack below them. And, they even are sitting. Oh, I guess they're standing between a throne. It doesn't look like they're sitting down, but they have two like stone or wooden lions on either side of them. After that is a judge, and it has a picture of the bank +X, it says, on their seal. And below them, it has an exclamation point. The judge has like the judge thing where they knock and they say, order, order, order. They have something to write with, a quill with the fancy plume. They're holding some sort of book that seems like, you know, the Book of Rules and stuff. They're in a library. They have a very, like a face like a lion. And they have the curly hair that judges have in movies and stuff, or you know, like a Tory. I don't know if those are what Tories. I don't know what else to call him. And they're in a lot of blue. Again, very nice outfits. Next up is the queen. And I don't think she's the one from, like, she's very, say, holy cow. I don't know if I could, like, have feelings for playing card, but I may. Below her is a sack, and then it says +2 for pennies for her seal. She's holding a masquerade mask in one hand on a stick. She has rings. She has a very, like a hat, like a, or I don't know what you call it. Like she has a crown, but she has that thing that has two puffs that go up each side. She has some, what else, peacock feathers or peacock plumage. She has a big collar, a lot of like jewels and earrings. And frilly stuff. Here's the other person from the cover, or one of the sides. So the person that doesn't play by the rules. And so that was a person that has like a brash kind of look on their face. They're holding two cards behind their back. It looks like aces. It says +10, and it's surrounded in olive leaves. On their seal, they're holding two aces behind their back and then holding some other cards forward and looking over their shoulder. They have a couple plumes in their fancy hat, no mask. They're kind of doing a flourish. They say, yeah, don't play by the rules. I bend the rules because I C-H-E-A to the T. Then we have the fool. I think that's everything. I think those are all the characters. Let me run through them again. Yeah, so there's like 14 character cards. Then there's, I guess there's these little symbols. Maybe these go on the board or something. There's one for the peasant that kind of has a thing like the bottom of their card, +1, +2 with two rakes. I see the bishop. It has their face. These are these little square symbols, max +2. Oh, and then on the other side, it's just artwork of them. Then I have the inquisitive fellow, and it says ?/+4. We have a mothering figure. I didn't see her. I didn't use her card, but she has nothing on her symbol. We have the spy who has an eye with two cards circling one another. We have the person that doesn't play by rules with an olive +10. We have the judge with the bank, or the I guess the house of judging, +X coins. We have the king, it says +3. We have the fool, who I know well, of course, who has coins going in each direction, +1, +1. We have, wait a second, if there's a fool... Oh, no, that wasn't the fool. That was the person that takes stuff without permission, because now I'm seeing the fool who has +1 with coins circling one another. They both had masks on. That's why I get those two mixed up. We have the person who's, you know, just dealing with loss. That's equal 10 sack. And then we have another peasant. It looks like there's two peasants. And we have the WITCH with two things circling one another. And the queen, I'll probably keep this one with me just for inspiration. Plus two coins. So I still don't have an idea of the rules, but let's look on this turn card. On your turn, you could do any one of the following. You could swap your card, you could look at your card secretly, or you can announce a character to activate their power. And if you're the spy, you could look at their card and another and then swap them or not. If you're the bishop, you could take two gold coins from the richest of the other players. If you're the judge, you could take all of the courthouse's gold. If you're the person that takes stuff with, borrow stuff without asking, you could take one gold coin from each adjacent player. If you're the queen, you would receive two gold coins. If you're the king, you would receive three gold coins. If you're the WTICH, or however you spell that, you'd swap your entire fortune with that of another player of their choice. If you're the peasant, you receive one gold coin. If there are two peasants, you each receive two gold coins. If you're the fool, you get one gold coin and swap or not two cards other than their own. If you're the person that doesn't play by the rule, you win the game if you have 10 or more coins. If you're the person with loss, you receive gold coin. You receive coins from the bank until you have a total of 10. So does it mean you get? Well, I'll have to ask that. If you're the inquisitive person, you could point at another player who must guess their character, who their character is, or give the inquisitor four coins. So it seems to be kind of like a game of maybe you don't know what your cards are. Okay, so let's see. I'm going to go through the rules quickly here, or talk slowly, though. Masquerade is a bluffing game, a character-based bluffing game, 2 to 13 players. Each player has a face-down character card. During the game, the players will swap characters, and no one is ever sure of the card they have in front of themselves. The object of the game is to use the powers of the characters to obtain 13 gold coins. However, if any player goes bankrupt, the game ends and the richest player wins. Isn't this the same rules as life? I'm not talking about the game of life. For the first few games, we suggest limiting the group to 4 to 8 players. As any more require in-depth knowledge of the rules. So this could be a fun, family game. We go through the contents. Each player starts with 6 gold coins, and the player must keep their coins visible. Remaining money is placed in the center of the table, which will be the bank. And then there's the courthouse, which is some distance from the bank. And then depending on the number of players, you kind of keep a certain, you take or remove characters from the game. Then the character cards are shuffled. Each player receives one face up in front of them. With 4 or 5 players, the remaining cards are placed face up in the middle of the table. When all players have taken a good look at the cards, they're all turned face down. The character tokens are used to keep track of which characters are present in the game. Place them next to the courthouse, and the youngest player begins, and then it goes clockwise. For subsequent games, you could use other character combinations, but keep in mind the judge must play a minimum of 1/3, if not more, of the characters should bring money from the bank into gameplay. Those characters are queen, king, widow, fool, and peasants. Both peasant characters must always be included in the gameplay. And if a character has an A-plus icon, that means that they must be A players to be included. Those are peasants and inquiry. I don't know. That doesn't make sense. In games with more than five players, you could choose to add more cards in the middle of the table, as in games with four or five players. Game turn. In the first four turns, meaning the first four players, are preparation terms solely meant to introduce a bit uncertainty into the game. The first player, the youngest, and the next three players clockwise all must perform the same action. The players whose turn it is takes the card face down and another one face down, another face down take card of their choice, either that of another player or the middle of the table. And then while being concealed under the table and without looking at them, they can swap the two cards or not before putting them back in place. Okay, so then you start mixing the cards up. On the fifth turn, the game begins in earnest, and each player must perform only one action. Swap their card or not under the table, look at their card, or announce their character. Warning, if a player has revealed their card during the turn of the player immediately before them, by having called the character announcements of the player to the right or having been revealed by the Inquisitor, then the player cannot announce that they are their revealed character. The player will be forced to swap their card. Swap their card or not. This allows a player to secretly swap or not their card with another player. You take your card in one hand without looking at it, take the card of another player without looking at it, then under the table, out of the sight of all the players, swap their cards or not, keep one of the two cards and return the other card to the player from whom you took it or in the middle of the table. Remember, players are not allowed to look at the cards and they must remain face down. Even the player whose card was taken is not allowed to look at the card that was returned to them. So it's kind of complicated. It's possible that the player who performs the action no longer remembers whether the cards were swapped or not. That's too bad. Example, Adele forgot who their character was, but she's almost certain about Bruno's. On her turn, she takes her card as well as Bruno's under the table and swaps them. She returns one and keeps it to Bruno for herself. Secretly look at your card. That means you can secretly look at your card. If a player looks at their card by mistake, then they must perform that action on their turn. Announce their character. This is the main activity of the game. It allows players to activate the power of their character. When a player announces they are a character, all other players in turn, starting on the left and going clockwise, have the option of calling the active player's announcement by claiming to be the same character. If no one else claims to be the character, the player applies the power of the character without revealing their card. Okay, so there you go. This is like the bluffing part. Therefore, it's possible to use the power of any character in the game without being that character, even without knowing who you are. If one or more players also claim to be that character, all concerned players reveal their cards. If one of the players is in character, that player uses the character's power. Then the players that falsely claimed it pay a fine of 1 gold to the courthouse. Then all the players turn their cards again. So Bruno would say, I'm the king. And if no other players say it, then Bruno gets the power of the king. If Adele and Cedric also claimed to be the king, they would reveal it and play a coin. Like whoever's not the king. And then we went through the kind of powers. The person, I spy person, gets to look at their card and another player's card or a card before swapping or not. The bishop takes 2 gold coins from the richest of the other players. The fool receives a gold coin from the bank and swaps or not the cards of 2 other players under the table without looking at them. The inquisitive person points at another player. That player must then announce what they believe to be their character and reveal their card. If they're wrong, they must pay 4 gold coins to the inquisitor. If they aren't wrong, the power has no effect. It has to be 8 players if you're using the inquisitor. The judge takes all the coins in the courthouse. And if the judge is falsely claimed, the fine is paid after the judge's power is resolved. A peasant gets a gold coin from the bank, or 2 if there's 2 peasants revealed during a turn. Oh, they both get paid. The queen gets 2 coins from the bank. The king gets 3. The WTICH can swap her fortune with any player. Fine is always paid after. The person that doesn't play by the rules, if they win if they have 10 coins. The person with loss gets 10 coins to the bank to get their fortune to 10 coins. If they have 10 or more coins, they don't get anything. So Adele, this is an example for this one because I didn't understand it. Adele only has 1 gold coin left. She says, I'm the person with loss. Harry calls her bluff and claims it. Adele and Harry reveal their cards. Adele's the queen. Harry is the person with loss. If he has less than 10 coins, he gets all the coins from the bank till he has 10. Adele pays a fine of 1 coin, and actually the game ends because she only had 1 coin. And the person that takes stuff, borrows stuff, they take 1 coin from the player to the left and 1 coin from the player to the right. As soon as the player has 13 coins some player loses their last gold coin, the game ends and the richest player wins. There is a way to play it with 3 players or even 2 players, and it has instructions for that. So that's that game. This next game is called The Builder's Middle Ages, and it has what looks like a cathedral being built, someone working on a marble block, and someone looking at plans, and a couple of people carrying wood. This is the front cover. Also, the R has a crown on it for builders. And there's, scaffolding, and even a marble block being carried up to one of the towers of the cathedral. There's also another building on the right, just to add a little flourish. It's kind of a cartoony drawing. This is a tin. It's a square about the size of 2 decks of cards. And it has raised writing. So one of the builders and one of the planners is raised, as well as the building on the right, like pressed into the tin. So that just adds like this 3D effect. And then on the top, it has a light bulb and then Friedrich Henry. So I guess the idea, concept by Friedrich Henry and a brush, a Sabrina Miramon. So I guess art by Sabrina Miramon. On one of the sides of the box, it says Bombix, which it must be the company. Then it has 10 plus for age, 2 to 4 people in 30 minutes. And another side, it has Builder's Middle Ages with the crown on the R and a person in profile. Then the other side, again, it says 10 plus, 2 to 4 in 30 minutes. And then on another side, it says the Builder's Middle Ages. On the back side, on the top left, it has like a smiling face with some gears. And then it says worker placement, management, and optimization. And then the copy goes, becoming the first builder of the kingdom is a dream of any foreman. To realize it, you'll have to have good recruitment with wise choice of your construction sites. As the buildings you construct will earn you renown, but also the money needed to hire more competent workers who themselves will be better able to build more prestigious monuments, such as a cathedral, the masterpiece of a lifetime. Below the copy, it has a townhouse, which it looks like it says 2 crowns, has some coins, and it has a couple builder cards. There's a master who has 5 silver coins. Well, I guess we'll look at the cards. castle and a craftsman. And then it has like more details. Asmodee is the company, Asmodee, that made the game. Pittsburgh, New York, and France. And yeah, so I'm going to dig into the box. Okay, this game, it looks like it's never been played. It has a unopened bag. Well, it could have been resealed, I guess, of plastic, gold, and silver coins. But they actually sound like coins, even though they're plastic. And then it has two decks of cards and the instructions. And we'll dig right into the cards. It has square cards the size of a coaster for drinks. And actually, there's stuff on both sides of the cards. So on one side is buildings. This one is the Abbey, the first card. It has 18 down silver coins and then five crowns. So it's a resource game, I guess. Then it costs 4 out of 5 blocks, 3 out of 5 pieces of wood, 2 out of 5 what looks like a compass, some sort of architectural symbol, and then roofing materials, it looks like 1. On the other side of the Abbey is what the Abbey looks like, completed, very beautiful, 5 crowns. Next up is the inn, which costs 12 silver coins, I'm assuming, with the green arrow down, 3 crowns, 2 blocks, one thing of wood, 1 thing of craftsmanship, and 2 things of roofing. So I guess the inn has more roofing. That's cool. Ooh, an aqueduct. That's 20 silver coins, 6 crowns, 5 full, so all the marble you could handle, 2 things of wood or scaffolding. It takes 5 level of skill, but no roofing. I mean, people always forget roofers until you need a roof, right? And yeah, the other side of the coin always shows what it's like completed, which is cool. Then treehouse, which costs 6 gold coins, 1. So a good place to start, 1 crown. No stone, 2 woods, 1 craftsmanship, and no roofing. Then we have the castle, which costs 20 coins, 7 crowns, obviously 5 stone, 3 wood, 5 in craftsmanship, and 3 in roofing. Wooden shack is 8 coins, 0 crowns, 0 stone, 1 wood, 1 craftsmanship, and 0 roofing. Chapel is 18 coins and 5 crowns, 3 stone, 2 wood, 2 craftsmen, and 3 roofing. And quite nice. It looks completed quite nice. It looks like it even has a couple stone wheelbarrows and then a nice rose window. The cathedral, I think that was the pinnacle. It said, 20 coins, 8 crowns, 5 stone, 4 wood, 4 craftsmanship, and 4 roofing. So it uses almost everything. But completed, it's got flying buttresses and everything. 3 towers, you know, two bell towers, and or two bell towers up front, two rose windows, and then a tower in the middle. Cottage would be nice for me. That's 10 gold coins, 2 crowns, no stone, 2 wood, 1 craftsmanship, and then 2 in roofing. It's got a nice thatch roof, 2 stories, or like loft. It's got some chickens in the yard and a nice chimney. Stables, 14 coins, 3 crowns, and then stone, no stone, 3 wood. 1 craftsman, 3 roofing. We have the church, 18 coins, 5 crowns, 4 stone, 0 wood, 2 craftsmanship, and 4 roofing. So church has a lot of, yeah, it's a slate roof. Even has a weather vane, 2 rose windows. Cow sheds 12 coins. I would have put it at much less. I mean, no offense to cows. 3 crowns, no stone, 1 wood, 2 craftsmen, 3 roofing. So it's a pretty long building. It's like a stable, which you need for cows. I've definitely seen this building in one of those games, wherever you parachute in. Forge is 14 coins, 3 crowns, 2 stone, 2 wood, no craftsmanship though, and 3 roofing. So if you're low on craftsmen, but you got the roofs, build a forge. It has a horse out front, even covered markets, 16 coins, 4 crowns, no stone, 3 wood, 2 craftsmen, 3, 1 roof, kind of open market. Hotel is 16 coins, 4 crowns, 1 stone, 3 wood, 3 craftsmen, 1. Ooh, the hotel, it's like it gets bigger as it goes up. So the first floor is small. And then the second, it has 4 stories. Really nice looking hotel. Straw hut. This is an easy one. I mean, in my opinion, 6 coins, 1 crown, 1 stone, 0 wood, 0 craftsmen, and 2 roofing. Doesn't look, it's around, it's got 2 chickens and a straw roof, but it's made of stone, even though, you know, it has 1 stone, yeah. Washhouse, 6 coins, 1 crown, no stone, 1 wood, no craftsman, 2 roofing. So kind of like a water, riverside place to do wash. The bourgeois house, 16 coins, 4 crowns, 2 stone, 2 wood, 2 craftsmen, 2 roofing. So very balanced. Just looks like a nice townhouse. 3 stories. Yeah, it would be a nice place to live. But I'd prefer the rural house. It's 10 coins, 2 crowns, 1 stone, 2 wood, 1 craftsman, 1 roofing. Yeah, it looks like nice 2.5 stories. Also, there's a townhouse, which is 10, 2. So the townhouse is 10 coins and 2 crowns as well. It's all stone, though. 2 stone, no wood, 2 craftsmen, and 1, probably because of permits. Also nice, 3 stories with a little side, like side storage area. Nice roof. Regular house, 10 coins, 2 crowns, 2 stone, 1 wood, no craftsmen, 2 roofs. And that's like a regular 1 story with loft. Windmills, 14 coins, 3 crowns, 3 stone, no wood, 3 craftsmen, though, and 1 roofing thing. Really nice windmill. A canvas. Got a water mill. I want to get to the workers, though. Stone bridge, covered bridge, a pigsty. Let me look at the pigsty. I finished. Oh, boy, does that look nice. There's 5 adult pigs and 2 piglets there. Post, a rural relay. Cool. Grain silo, tavern, a bower, watchtower, a farm, cloister. Crane, circular saw. So maybe these are things you could actually use to do other stuff. Oh, yeah, it gives you wood. Oh, so some of these give you resources. Survey tools. A tile oven gives you resources. A crane gives you resources. A circular saw. Okay, so there's more than one. This definitely hasn't been played because they're all in order. Survey tools. And then I'll just run through these cards. I really don't. This is probably like one of these resource games rules. There's a master builder. Their 5 coins go up. So maybe they get paid 5 coins. And there's different levels. So this guy's a roofing master, and that's it. There's also this another master that's good at roofing and stone. Another one that doesn't have his shirt on. He's really good at stone and good at roofing. Then there's another master his profile was on the cover. He's got 3 stone and 2 wood, no roofing or skill, like survey skills. Then we got one that's good at three on wood, two on. He's got a sleeveless shirt on too. He's good at two at surveying. This one, he's got a little hat on. He's good at two on stone, three on wood. Then we have one that's a three on survey, two on roofing. So this is really interesting. So you get a feel for like, okay, you get your player, your characters, and your what you want to build, and you got to kind of figure it out from there. This one's good at two on wood, a three on surveying. He's also got like a little plan and nice little belt. Then we have a craftsman. This dude just has a vest on. Like, I mean, he has pants on too, but he's like jacked. He gets an income of four, one on stone, two on survey, one on roofing. Then another craftsman. This dude, again, no shirt. These craftsmen don't wear shirts. He just has an apron on and jean shorts. Then another one who's got a hat and a shirt and a vest on, big biceps. Then another one who's got no sleeves, but two layers at least, and a belt. Then another one who just has a vest on, very small vest. He's like busting out of it. Then one that has, looks like he's wearing a backpack in addition to a sleeveless shirt and jean shorts, even though these are in the Middle Ages. Then another one just in a, what do you call that? Just an apron. Usually this is like a Building After Dark, they call it. Then another one, sleeveless shirt. He's got leather gloves too. Then a guy with like just a backpack straps and not, like he's in jean shorts, no shirts. And then one with layers. He's got a belt and a apron and a sleeveless tee. So there's a bunch of craftsmen. Oh, wow, there's a lot of craftsmen. Then there's laborers. They're very, the laborers are not as big as the craftsmen. And there's a lot of different ones of them. So this game looks like fun. So you could check in with me about this game too. And I'll try to play them both and fill you in and on how it went. All right, how does that sound? Good night. All right, I want to thank everybody who reviewed the show on Apple Podcasts lately. Mo Casey says, sorcery, can't believe it works. I'm a fickle sleeper, always need perfect conditions to sleep. White noise, pillows, darkness, no TV or music. But sometimes this helps me right to sleep. I have a lot going to keep me from sleep. Thanks for shushing those down for me. Yeah, great podcast, good show. Lets me fall asleep. I don't like the advertisements, so I skip straight to the story. Love you, Scooter. Keep up the great work. That's from Riley of Zerna, 66, says this podcast is a blessing. I had nights where it couldn't shut off your brain, anybody. Even in my worst nights, I never made it through a whole episode without falling asleep. Kind of magical, so comforting to know it's out there when I need it. Whenever I hear a friend saying they're trouble sleeping, I recommend it. Thank you. Might take a few tries, but worth checking out. Dickeyville says it works. 70 years of insomnia, tried it all to no avail. At first, you'll have to let yourself go with the gravelly voice and your type A desire to follow a plot or story. But give it up, relax into it, and... I don't know how it works, but it does. Thank you, Dickieville. It's a great review. FSZ 101. That's one of my favorite stations. FSZ 101, the power of sleep. But in this case, the review in the show, yep, it does. Even thinking about writing a review makes me want to fall asleep. Plenty of podcasts to put you to sleep, but this one intends to. Hole says, awesome. Can't listen to you every night. Love the podcast. Puts me to sleep. Can't imagine sleeping without it. C Wang says, amazing. Podcast is, as others have said, lifesaver. Had sleep problems for ages. Never make it through 15 minutes without falling asleep. So grateful. Thank you. Yes, it's from Sweden, says, lifesaver. Get a lot of lifesavers should support the show. Had problems all my life. Podcast is something I enjoy long throughout the day. The way you talk is calming and real. Thank you. Love from Sweden. Faral03 from Sweden also says, wonderful. Woke up, with all the stuff going on. Couldn't calm down. Turned on Sleep With Me. Slowed things down. Thank you. Dinner Dash says, best thing I found for sleep. They're from Canada. Give it a shot. Might take a few episodes. Common, so common. It was hard to keep my brain from going places, but on the flip side, I don't listen too carefully. That's why this is perfect. Long enough of a story to follow, but not too much you can't drift off to. Thanks so much. Thanks, said Dinner Dash. Spock Genius says, life-saving podcast for real. And no one does it better. Thank you. S. Monty says it's sorcery. And I think that's all the new ones. Thanks, everybody, for reviewing the show. Let me check one other thingamajig here. Podchaser. No new ones there. Okay, so thanks, everybody, for reviewing the show. Sleep With Me exists as a free podcast because people that review the show or spread the word about it or support our sponsors or support the show directly. So thanks, everybody, for doing that. Couldn't do it without you. I really, really appreciate it. And, speaking of letting you know about something, here's another podcast I wanted you to know about. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month and what you can expect to see on... In the public feed too. Now I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only. And then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now, and I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from. On Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is the Boar Friends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and... that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets season one, part two, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like seven episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all intro episode came out. And then we had... March is at bonus episodes. There was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all in. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed, let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabalik's, we're getting ready, big announcement. If I haven't made it anywhere, we're going to do three seasons of a crossover with Alba Sabalik. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode one of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of the Great British Bake Off, and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. Then Multiplex, episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever need support at supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not you don't need support, but if you do. And the other thing is this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me. And most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's I put it at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way. But these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right, and building your playlists from that podcast app. So thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepingmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com, and good night.